You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. In the race to develop self-driving technology, Michigan and Silicon Valley are not the only games in town. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes is just back from Pittsburgh. And Daniel, what did you see in the Steel City?
Well, listen, Steel City is not necessarily Steel City anymore, that's for sure. But it was interesting. You know, we had an opportunity to meet with people from Carnegie Mellon and some suppliers that are developing an automated system for autonomous vehicles. We got a chance to ride in it and also to talk to them. Pittsburgh is kind of carving out a niche as kind of an automated or autonomous center in the industry. And one of the things I think is really important for people at this stage to think about is there's no company or there's no geographic place in the United States, let alone the rest of the world, that is going to be the epicenter for these developments of these technologies, at least not in the near-term future. And I think what you're seeing here is a lot of people are playing to their strengths. And in the case of Pittsburgh, they've got real capability in robotics. And why is that? Because of Carnegie Mellon has got a very well-established institute of robotics that is well-known worldwide and has been very successful in a lot of robotics competitions around the world and has done a lot of really interesting things. As a result, you have companies like Uber Technologies that's there and is doing a lot of testing as they go down the road from just being a delivery service, if you will, or a car service that you can use an app on your phone to have somebody drive their minivan and pick you up and take you from point A to point B. Well, they're looking at what are the next steps here, and one of them is automated driving and how they can have autonomous vehicles that can pick you up at your home and take you to your office or take your mother to her doctor's appointment. Those are the things they're doing in Pittsburgh because it presents some really interesting things, a lot of bridges, a lot of complicated roads. Anybody that's been to Pittsburgh knows it's easy to get lost in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
And get stuck in places because you've got these three rivers coming together. It's very beautiful, has a lot of character, but it can be very confusing. So what they're trying to do is use that confusingness, if you will, and say, okay, how can we adapt this and use this to learn? Because it's much more complicated than, you know, a subdivision out on a flat surface, you know, between Ann Arbor and Lansing, for example. Hmm.
Well, as you point out in your column in today's Detroit News, there are 195 test beds in the U.S., with 49 in Michigan, 35 in California, 3 in Pennsylvania. And then globally, Japan and Germany are doing a lot of development and testing. And I'm just wondering, do we know how much sharing is happening among these sites? I mean, are people duplicating work or is everybody coming up with their own thing?
Well, I think a lot of them are coming up with their own thing, and I think that kind of segues into something we've talked about before is the American Center for Mobility at Willow Run that is being planned, that is underway just in the very early stages. I think what they're trying to do is look for places to commingle some of this stuff, and I think out there you're going to see that site used by automakers, by suppliers, by software developers to develop some of these technologies. Some of this stuff is going to be done in tandem with each other. Others will not. I mean, I think you're still going to have proprietary development and testing by automakers and by suppliers who are going to be doing things in their own existing test facilities or ones that they create for mobility and autonomous vehicles because they view it as proprietary. And it's not something they want to share with other people because let's understand, this is a competitive and commercial race here. You know, there are people who are vying for leadership. General Motors is a great example. I think they're clearly vying for leadership in this space, and they think that one of their advantages, number one, is their engineering capability, and number two is their scale. And that the real winner here is going to be the company that is able to produce these vehicles in scale, meaning big numbers, that they can sell these vehicles to an Uber, let's say, and they can say, okay, you're going to buy 10,000 or 20,000 or 100,000 of these vehicles. So once they had those things all designed and made up and they just start churning these out one after another, and the scale is how you manage the cost. That's why the Chevrolet Bolt, which is built right here in Michigan, is so important for a company like General Motors because it's the first one that's going to go over 200 miles in a charge, and with federal incentives, it's going to be under $30,000.
And with that in mind, it looks like Michigan is kind of in a position to be the leader of the pack as this race continues.
I think that's true. But, you know, one of the things that I've come to appreciate is that there are areas of expertise in this whole race. And I think you're going to see multiple places. And what I think is emerging, and the numbers you cited earlier, I think are good examples. I mean, in the United States, the states that have the most test beds and the most, and I think you would associate with the most corporate and industrial expertise are Michigan and California, Detroit and Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. The other thing I think it's really important for people to understand is you got to think of the United States. If you live in the Midwest and you see people buying their F-150s and their new SUVs and driving around, you say, why would anybody want to do this? Nobody's going to buy these vehicles. Well, the fact is that the United States is not driving this trend so much as it's following the trend. Think of it more as a caboose on a train. What's at the front of the train is China and Western Europe, who are setting out very aggressive emissions targets and are basically saying, after date certain, 2025, 2030, you can't sell a car in our country that isn't a zero emissions car. And so what does that mean? That means you either have to have the cleanest combustion engines on the planet, or you got to be looking to electrics. And so as you're looking to electrics, and it's how can you combine electric vehicles with the autonomous technologies that will take the driver out of the system? And that doesn't mean that those things are going to be used for all applications. But if you live in a city that's got 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 million people, which we don't have any of them, really, we got, what, 2 in the United States, and yeah, there are 8 million? Yeah. That's what they're trying to do. These are clogged. They're choked. The air quality is terrible. And one of the ways they're trying to address it is through personal transportation.
Interesting race globally. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. As always, thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.